Okay, so next we'll dive into the matter. I will introduce our first speaker of this morning, J.C. Scott Songen, who is a specialist in research, quantitative and qualitative methodologies, with more than 10 years of experience in doing research on audiences in the UK and US. She has a broad knowledge of the internal workings of museums. She's done research on users in the British Museum, senior data analysis in the National Gallery, and senior research and audience analysis in the Victoria and Albert Museum. She founded the Clifford Creative Research in 2021 to increase the scope of audience research in cultural venues of the UK. From their foundations, they've worked with Museum of London, Tate Museum, British Council, or the Smithsonian in New York. So it's a pleasure having you with us, Casey, and another round of applause for you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I feel really honored to be a part of the 10th anniversary of this seminar. The hybrid visitor. This is something I think many of us in this room have spent a lot of time talking about, especially over the last 5 to 10 years. It's even been mentioned that in 2017, this has been a topic of digital audiences. Things have continued to be part of this story. So what does a visit look like when you think of both an on-site visit as well as the digital visit? How the visit extends before and after a physical visit? Further, museums have been grappling with the incorporation of digital means for more than 2 decades. As things like smartphones have become part of everyday lives, so too have museums been faced with adapting practices to cater to an always-on world. And while good things have come out of this shift, such as better accessibility and wider visibility, museum budgets have had to stretch to cover more platforms in more ways. And we know that the idea of a digital audience isn't new, nor is measuring a digital audience. But these practices are still relevant today. But as digital audience measurement continues to get more and more sophisticated and complex, it's important to ground ourselves in what it means for digital audiences for museums and understand the foundations we're working from. There are three main spaces museums engage with digital audiences. The first is around marketing and awareness. This is what we use social media for, our visit pages on the website, emails, third-party review sites like TripAdvisor, and even more recently, things like ChatGPT. The second is around digital engagement. So this is our digitized or online collections. This is people consuming museum-created content regardless of whether they're on-site or not. And the third is digital interventions on-site. So AR, VR, digital guides, QR codes, even translation apps on people's phones, Wi-Fi infrastructure. These are all the three main things that we think about when we think about where digital audiences are interacting with us. And of course, the COVID-19 pandemic highlighted the relevance of digital to museums, but it also highlighted the challenges faced by the sector. The digital transformations that took place at museums during COVID-19 drew attention to the discrepancies in digital maturity and resilience across the sector. And while COVID-19 was the catalyst for many digital transformation projects within the sector, it also increased the divide between museums with established digital adoption models and those earlier in the adoption scale. But most importantly, looking at behavior since the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen that there were fundamental shifts in audience behavior that means that museums can no longer ignore the importance of digital audiences. And with key changes in audience behavior and the increased digital expectations of visitors, partially as a result of the digitization of museums during lockdowns, it's become more critical than ever for museums of all sizes to understand and cater to digital behaviors and motivations. Understanding digital audience behaviors will help museums to stay relevant for their visitors while prioritizing any future digital spend wisely and effectively. And while COVID-19 brought digital engagement to the forefront and left many museums rushing to implement new digital content and platforms, it also highlighted that many museums, especially those without digital strategies in place, in trying to stay relevant for visitors, ended up implementing digital for the sake of it. And many didn't build in any measurement practices, which made it unclear if anything that was implemented actually worked. In a survey commissioned by NEMO in 2021 on the impact of COVID-19 on museums in Europe, they found that while 93% of museums who responded had increased or started online services, 75% had increased or started social media, and 53% had increased or begun to create video content during the pandemic, this did not necessarily translate into digital audience measurement, given that almost 40% said they either did not track or did not know their online visitor numbers. This really put the necessity and lack of digital audience measurement to the front of many's minds. This lack of data meant making decisions became difficult as museums lacked the knowledge and information about who their digital audiences were and how their digital audiences behaved. So, since COVID-19, things have changed again. This time in visitor behavior. We saw a lot of visitors come back to museums in person, and there was, for many, a shift to prioritizing in-person experiences over virtual experiences. But audience expectations have shifted, and the way audiences plan to spend their time has changed. Museums no longer exist in their own category, for example. They now compete with a wider variety of experiences, from private exhibitions to immersive experiences, to things like escape rooms, and let's be honest, streaming services like Netflix. And there's been a shift across all three types of digital ways museums engage with audiences. From a digital marketing and awareness perspective, there's been a shift in finding out things via social media and influencers. There's an increasing reliance on word of mouth and relying on algorithms to show them relevant content and using that as a way to find out about events and things to do. From a digital engagement perspective, there's an expectation that things are online. It's no longer a nice to have. It's now something that we expect to find it. If it's not online, it doesn't exist. This is an expectation for collections to be digitized and all the information available in a museum setting to also be available online. And finally, for digital interventions, while having digital interventions on site aren't necessarily expected, seamless use of one smartphone is expected. The ability to find out about more about an object online, use accessibility or translation functionality, or even consume content in a different format is something visitors expect to be able to do. Overall, digital's become an integral part of people's lives, and the absence of digital capabilities is seen more than the addition of them. This means that expectations are shifting, and it's no longer optional to think about the digital visit ecosystem and the on-site visit as separate things. Instead, we need to think about how we can better understand the holistic visitor experience across both digital and physical visits. This may seem daunting, but it doesn't have to be. And audience measurement can be a key to helping museums start to think more strategically about digital and on-site experiences. Ultimately, we live in an age of information overload, and in order to stay relevant and top of mind, museums need to think about how they fit into the lives of their visitors, not how visitors can come to museums. So, when we think about the hybrid visit experience, we often think about it based on platforms that the museum owns, and this is just a product of the fact that teams are set up in certain ways. So we think about, you know, we've got your online-only visits, your on-site-only visits, your on-site and online visits together. And we think about things like the website and the social media platforms that we own or the digital products that exist within our museums. But the reality for our visitors is actually much different. Visitors are using a variety of owned and third-party platforms to both actively and passively decide what to visit. Since the pandemic, we've seen an increase in passive content consumption via social media and an ever-growing importance of word of mouth. With more things than ever to choose from, people are relying on the recommendations of friends, families, and even influencers to decide what to do. They are trusting the algorithm to show them things that they will want to see, and even using things like ChatGPT to help them plan a day out. And when they're doing any active planning, it's put through a series of lenses, from the cost of living crisis, which is making people plan further in advance and find ways to make their money go further, to only finding out about certain things when the algorithm thinks it's relevant. And when planning a day out, they're looking at museums and galleries next to immersive experiences, also parks, zoos, nature, things that many people incorporated more into their life during lockdowns. And because of the cost of living crisis, museums are also competing with secondary spend like gym subscriptions and Netflix subscriptions. But by understanding how visitors use platforms, both passively and actively, and how all of the platforms work together, museums will be able to use time, expertise, and resources in places that they're needed the most. This is a shift from what organizations do now, where teams are set up to think about each platform separately. So what do all these changes mean for the museum? It means that digital is no longer an exception. Visitors expect museums to support the use of digital technologies as a rule. With limited time, resources, and expertise, museums must think strategically about how they integrate digital practices. And finally, it's only by understanding the specific needs and behaviors of visitors that museums will be able to prioritize and streamline digital, on-site, and hybrid experiences. So what does hybrid audience measurement actually look like? Audience measurement has long been integral to the arts and culture sector, with many museums and galleries employing established evaluation techniques to grasp audience engagement and visitation patterns. While exit surveys and intercept interviews have been mainstays for evaluating on-site experiences, the proliferation and accessibility of data, such as ticketing, sales, membership, attendance data, has enabled museums to integrate more data-driven decision-making into visitor experience strategies. As museums increasingly explore digital interventions and the convergence of digital and physical experiences, it's become imperative for professionals and researchers to develop research and evaluation methods that consider the experience as a unified whole rather than as distinct digital and physical entities. Bridging the gap between methodologies that assess purely digital or on-site experiences is essential to comprehensively understand the visitor journey across digital and on-site interactions. Furthermore, as digital audience measurement tools have become more accessible and more prevalent, organizations no longer need specific skill sets to deliver all types of research, which could effectively democratize research across the organization. It's therefore crucial for researchers and museum staff to consider the rationale behind collecting data in digital interventions, identify the necessary data for comprehending behaviors and motivations, and utilizing both digital and traditional qualitative and quantitative research methods to convey a more comprehensive and meaningful narrative about impact and success measures that go beyond visit counts. When measuring digital as well as on-site visitors, we have two types of research methodologies available. Quantitative research methodologies help us to easily define what visitors are doing, while qualitative research methodologies help uncover why visitors do what they do. So quantitative, for example, could be surveys or website analytics or social media analytics, digital product usage data, CRM data. Qualitative might be interviews or focus groups or participatory design or co-creation, diary studies, surveys, usability testing. For me, the real value is being able to understand both what audiences are doing and why they're doing it. Mixing qualitative and quantitative methods can often provide data more creatively and flexibly, with potentially smaller data sets building on one another to form a more cohesive picture of audiences' behaviors and motivations. This combined approach also means that data can be collected more regularly, leading to better measurement and monitoring practices without having to spend lots of time and resources on larger scale one-off research studies often. Additionally, while using multiple methods for data collection may sound counterintuitive to smaller organizations or teams with fewer resources, using creative approaches more regularly can often be a more efficient and more cost-effective method to help us solve issues around having only a smaller audience or resources with which to conduct research. but how do they work together? Let's take the example of understanding who our on-site or online audiences are. To start, to understand the person, the type of person who's visiting, and what their behaviors are, we have access to quantitative data, such as demographics and web pages visited through website analytics, as well as potentially CRM data, like ticket sales. However, we also have the responsibility of more qualitative research methodologies and understanding who our audiences are. So we often do exit surveys or intercepts to understand the demographics. In looking at both that data together, we can start to paint a more detailed picture of who our on-site and online audiences are and how they overlap. So how do you choose a methodology or a combination of? Looking at your key questions and existing data, so what data do you already have? You'd be surprised, as museums, we are a bit of hoarders, aren't we? We like to collect things, including data, so you'd be surprised at how much data a museum actually has that maybe you aren't using. And then think about what data you still need to collect in order to answer your question. Do you need to understand what audiences are doing, why audiences are doing what they're doing, or maybe understand the wider context with which everything is working? So I'd like to take you through a model that was first introduced by BAM Strategic Culturelli in collaboration with the NEMO Digital Transformation Working Group in a paper entitled Audience Measurement in the Digital Era. It was a model that I developed in the paper published by NEMO called Connected Journeys, Holistic Audience Measurement in the Age of Digital. If you'd like to learn more about this, I encourage you to look up both papers, which are both available for free on the NEMO website. So there are three main ways to use audience measurement to understand how museums fit into visitors' lives. The first is a research study. Often most relevant when building a new product or experience, it can also be a critical tool to use when developing an in-depth understanding of audience behavior. A research study is an in-depth qualitative or quantitative, or likely both, study that provides an in-depth understanding of a particular topic or audience. A concentrated piece of research can go a long way and remain relevant for years across a variety of departments, projects, and programs. Holistic audience research studies can help to unite an organization around a particular audience, leading to easier and more aligned data-driven decision-making across the organization. And while these holistic audience research projects can sometimes be more involved, their outputs are often impactful, meaningful, and relevant in a way that smaller studies can't necessarily deliver. Having deep and meaningful insights into hybrid audiences can be very successful in developing products capable of bringing an additional revenue or increase overall impact and learning outcomes for both online and on-site audiences. Commissioning or implementing a research study is about understanding how your museum fits into your visitor's life in ways that you don't know yet. Of course, there's always a few considerations for a study like this, and that is that it can be time and resource intensive. They also require specialized support from research specialists with specific skill sets. This can sometimes make them costly and should be planned in advance. Smaller museums and organizations can still conduct large research studies, especially if the project itself becomes a collaboration with other museums or data collecting organizations. There's a lot of opportunity for overlapping insights to be relevant and significant, and collaborations can decrease the need for specialized skill sets within a particular organization and also reduce the overall cost of these kinds of projects. So what are some examples? You could create a visitor segmentation that includes online and on-site behaviors, hybrid visitor journey mapping, research to develop a new product, development of user requirements, large-scale usability testing. I won't go into too much detail here because I'm excited to say you'll see a great case study from Rick at the Neanderthal Museum later today on segmentation, and Olga will also be talking you through some amazing research around visitor mapping. The second way to use audience measurement is to iterate on existing products and experiences. These are focused, short projects meant to understand how something is working, who is using a specific thing, or how to make something better. Projects to measure digital audiences often focus on answering a specific question, making them generally actionable and meaningful to the organization. Furthermore, light touch and focus projects can often be undertaken with limited resources, staff, or time. There are many digital tools and software to support audience measurement in this way, with a wide variety of methodologies to enable potentially creative and flexible solutions. That being said, hybrid audience measurement is something that can be done with relatively few resources and smaller amounts of time if the tools and processes are in place to do so. For example, having an approved and integrated survey tool within the museum means that staff can run their own quick surveys related to their own products and programming without relying on specialists to do the research for them. Having these types of methodological tools available to an organization are critical to implementing and democratizing a measurement strategy that's easy and effective, even with small teams. Some examples of where you might use measurement include to investigate a change in a metric discovered during monitoring, to understand why a key metric or KPI has gone up or down, to evaluate an event or an exhibition, something that's a limited time frame, to iterate on a product, so help something like an audio guide work better for your visitors, to understand the impact a recent change has made to a product, or to support the development of a new product strategy or plan. The third category is monitoring. So monitoring can be a relatively passive form of audience measurement, and can help a museum of any size understand what is working, what is not working, with relatively less investment of time, resources, or budget. This can be things like visit metrics on a website or on-site, general demographic or location data collected via Google Analytics, uptake of a digital product while visiting on-site, number of participants who participate in learning events online or on-site, visitor satisfaction, ticket sales, the list goes on. And it would be unique to each organization. Regularly monitored metrics and KPIs should be used to make decisions on how well a product or platform is performing and should be examined regularly for opportunities to iterate on a product or approach. Monitoring digital audiences and on-site audiences enables museums to determine if their programs, events, or activities have had an impact. Changes up or down over a longer period of time can act as a starting point to further investigation into what has worked or what's not working so well. This is often passive and doable with little effort, as many social media tools are already available and tools such as Google Analytics have become ever easier to set up. However, audience monitoring is only as useful as the metrics and KPIs originally set by the museum, along with the museum's use of collected data to make decisions. Collecting data just for the sake of it, but without any data interrogation, can negatively impact staff by making them feel like they're doing useless work, or create missed opportunities for the organization to correct its course if something is going wrong. Metrics and KPIs should be chosen with consideration, and in order to be effective, be clear in the way each number can impact a decision within the museum. Monitoring is important because this is how we understand how best to prioritize your resources, feel confident in what's working well, and understand when something isn't working. This is critical, especially now in a world where expectations shift quickly, and when something may work one year, it may become obsolete the following year. So how can audience monitoring and measurement be achievable for all sizes of museums? There's many different audience questions that can be answered via audience measurement strategies, from understanding what audience motivations are to how well they're able to complete tasks they're hoping to carry out or what they've learned. There are equally numerous ways to collect this type of information needed to answer these questions. It's important for museums to think about what metrics will best help them to make audience-led decisions within the organization, and to develop a measurement strategy around the ability to collect the data necessary within the resources available to the organization. It is important as well to think about how staff can use each of these three types of measurements to paint a holistic picture of audiences across both digital and on-site spaces. Now, I want to briefly touch on something that I think is absolutely critical to the success of audience measurement. You'll find much more detail of this in the report that I mentioned published by NEMO, and I highly encourage you to check it out and potentially use it as a roadmap, thinking about the best way to approach hybrid audience measurement within your organization. But one of the best ways to begin to implement hybrid audience measurement is to identify and create a data collection strategy for the organization. Such strategies help to prioritize the data required for a one-off project and the data needed for ongoing measurement and monitoring. Furthermore, data collection strategies help to design the process for capturing and analyzing data, create ownership for audience measurement, deliver clear timelines to set up needed processes, democratize access, and encourage data-driven decision-making within the organization. Data collection strategies can be as simple or as complicated as the available expertise and resources allow. From front of house collecting surveys, from visitors to dashboards of ticket sales, deciding and documenting a process for audience data collection is still as important in any size of team. From sophisticated dashboards to simply a monthly email with one key finding, having a data collection strategy ensures that the organization is utilizing the skills, resources, and knowledge of the team in the best way possible. So I want to quickly look at a case here that was recently implemented at the V&A Museum in London. In order to help the organization better understand how the role the museum plays in visitors' lives, we developed a workshop that lasted over 2 days. Here's the agenda. So basically what we did is we looked at all of the data that was already available on a few key audiences in the organization that we wanted to focus on for the new audience strategy. We pulled together mini reports and then sent them to various teams across the organization. What we did was create teams for specific audiences that went across all the departments. So someone from front of house or commercial or marketing and development, and having them all work together on one type of audience. We then had them develop an audience segment or a persona. So at the beginning of the day, they were given this data. They were asked to use the data to answer some of these questions to create an audience segmentation in a way. They then had lunch, and then they were asked to go out and speak to visitors in the museum. Scary, I know, right? But they went out, talked to visitors, and then came back and changed this if they needed to. They then were asked to map out the visitor journey, and I won't go into detail because you'll hear more about this later. But they used that persona, they talked to the visitors, and then they mapped out what it was like for that particular visitor before a visit, during a visit, after a visit. They then used these challenges and opportunities at the bottom to ideate and identify different ideas that may help make the visitor experience better. So this was all in the afternoon of the first day. On the second day, they came back. It was a half day. They looked at their ideas, developed some a little bit more, and turned some into briefs, which they then were given to the exec board. And the exec board went through the briefs and approved some of the projects that would help audiences have a better visit experience. And all of this brought different teams together to talk about things in a different way that maybe people hadn't understood in the past. But it also made sure that we were creating things that were data-driven and based in audience reality. Oops. So why does hybrid audience measurement matter, and how does it fit into a cultural organization? As digital practices continue to become more mainstream, visitor behavior and expectations continue to shift, causing digital means and opportunities to become more and more critical to museum practices. And while for many museums this can feel like an unnecessary strain on already limited resources, there are many opportunities that focused planning and development for digital and on-site audiences can provide. Beyond understanding the wider visitor journey across online and on-site spaces, there's also significant opportunities for museums in understanding and measuring digital audiences. What we begin to see is that the measurement of online and on-site audiences together can play a role not just in gaining a better understanding of the museum's full audience reach and visitor behavior, but also in starting to shift the way museums plan and deliver programming, education, and development practices so as to create wider reach and greater impact in general. The COVID-19 era, in which many museums closed their doors for extended periods of time and moved to digital-only models, and the subsequent reopening and return to normalcy that digital activities were not a threat to on-site audience engagement. In fact, it's since become clear that visitor expectations have shifted, and even though visitors have come back to physical sites, their expectations of what a visit looks like in regards to digital integration has shifted. And I get it. Working in museums means we're busy professionals, but by understanding how everything works together, we're better able to prioritize and understand what's working, what's not working, what helps us as organizations prioritize future projects, decrease risk of rolling out new products, or making sure we focus on things that bring the greatest value to our visitors. Further, the ability to not only plan for and deliver both online and on-site experiences, but also to measure them both holistically, can help to uncover the greater impact that combined activities are able to create. Digital technologies can also create many opportunities to provide a more accessible and inclusionary experience, both on-site and online. Audience measurement is one way to identify access needs for current and potential audiences, or to test new inclusionary products, content, or experiences. For example, understanding on-site access needs for a large archaeological site would enable potential visitors to plan their visits in advance and in order to access seating when they need it, and encourage visitors who wouldn't feel confident going without the additional planning information. Digital audience research could help to identify how to develop digital content necessary to support these access requirements. This process would make digital content more meaningful and successful if designed and tested, and would cater to a wider audience, building that confidence and increasing visits. And finally, hybrid audience measurement allows museums to understand where their visitors are holistically across online platforms. This helps museums be strategic about how they serve visitors and find potentially interesting and innovative opportunities to interact with visitors in new ways, potentially even income-generating ways. So, for example, through digital audience research, museums can better understand exactly who their potential audiences are and where their potential reach lies, and therefore start to imagine ways to engage with these audiences in more meaningful ways. One such example, based on knowing where digital audiences live, could be to determine the languages which are most relevant when it comes to creating content. This could open up the museum to more tourism and international audiences, which could result in new and innovative income streams. Thinking about it that way, understanding connected audiences' behavior increases the potential for revenue generation by providing what visitors want or need when they want or need it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this remarkable
Thank you so much for this remarkable presentation. Next, we have some time for Q&A and a debate with our audience. So if there are any questions you have for Casey, I'm sure she'll be delighted to answer. And if not, I can break the ice because I have many questions. Firstly, I wanted to ask you whether you have observed through your research whether a good digital strategy can help to increase the number of in-person visits and what is the impact on in-person visitors?
Definitely. I can hear myself. often we see digital strategies and in-person strategies as two separate things, and they exist in two separate teams that sometimes don't talk to each other. And what you get is really hardworking digital professionals who are trying to create content, to build social media presence, or work on a website, And then you get hardworking professionals in the museum creating programming or events. But what happens is they struggle to support each other. And you end up getting social media content that is great, but it doesn't actually resonate with the audience that would then come on site. And maybe that's your strategy, that you know social media is the only way you want to engage with people. But the reality is if we think about a good digital strategy, it would all connect up and help, you know, maybe some people will never come on site, and that's okay. You know, there are a variety of barriers. But if your online content can support people who want to come on site and vice versa, you're also not duplicating work within the teams, because instead you've got programming on-site teams writing all the content to try to promote their own thing. You've got digital teams promoting their own thing when you could actually save a lot of resources by working together. And it's quite a challenge, to be honest, because of the way we think about the expertise, digital and on-site experience. So have I seen any that have done it really well? I think that's yet to be.
Yes. Maybe this is an excellent opportunity to look at the digital strategy to make an organizational change. In several events here at the observatory, we've talked of the organizational change that must be top down and bottom up in all levels of museums and institutions to change this so that departments are better interconnected and so that everyone to be aligned with the museum's mission. Things like that. It's really interesting. Sorry, we have a question from our audience over here. Hi, good morning. I am David from the Museu de las Aigües. As many of you know, the Museu de las Aigües was closed for many years because of COVID. Now we've reopened. We developed a very powerful digital strategy in many senses, and we've reopened in 2025. We're receiving in-person visitors on our premises. And what we're doing now is we see a shift in trends. What we've tried to do is to balance things out and give the same relevance to people who come and visit the museum in person and who walk through our exhibitions. We give them the same relevance as someone who may visit our online exhibitions through our platform Google Arts, for instance. And we are giving them the same weight. So what have we done to go from a figure of visitors, which was around 50,000 per year in in-person visits? Now, by balancing things out, we have around 90,000 visitors or people with whom we've had an impact. That is how we call them. What do you think about giving the same relevance to those visiting virtual exhibitions or playing Minecraft to those who come and visit our museums in person? Is it ethical? Is it legitimate?
Great question. And also, congratulations on going from 50,000 to 90,000. I think it's a really good question because it's something that museums of all sizes are trying to think through at the moment is how important is a digital visitor and do they count as a visitor even? And I think it really depends on what the purpose of your museum is. If your goal is to help as many people learn about the thing that you have in your museum as possible and your digital experience helps enable people to learn about the collection, then is that success? You know, I think what I would be interested to see is in the next 5 to 10 years, people will start to talk more and more about impact and how do we measure impact and what does impact mean and how great of an impact do we have for it to be considered a good visit. But I think there's something missing in that what is the purpose of a museum? We are there to help educate people, but also what's the value of an in-person visit where someone is coming on a first date? you know, maybe they're not learning anything, they're focused on their date. But that is that still a legitimate visit? So I think the same applies to digital, is you'll have people who come to your digital site who are less engaged or more engaged, and you'll have people who come on site that's less engaged and more engaged. So is it a question of how engaged are they? Do we care? Does it matter? Maybe the important thing is that we get as many people as possible regardless. I remember when I worked at the National Gallery, I was doing intercepts one day, just asking people, I think we were doing a wayfinding project about how to get places. And I stopped these two gentlemen, and they said they were in the gallery because it was faster to cut through the gallery to get to the donut shop than it was to walk around. Does that count as a visit? You know, I guess they looked at art as they walked through, maybe quickly. But I think it's more of a question of that rather than a digital visitor as important, is less or more important. I think it's more about what level of engagement do we want and what are we hoping to achieve.
Thank you. Longi from University of Huelva. I have a little question. How would you evaluate the strategies that come from outside of the museums? For example, such Kultubers or TikToker, Instagrammers, that who also encourage and provide engagement or to visit or to enjoy the museum, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's complicated, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, a few months ago, I was having a conversation with my mom, and she was talking about this interior designer as if she was her friend. Like, so-and-so did this today. And I was like, who is so-and-so? And it was an influencer that she watches on YouTube. And I think there's a shift that's happening that we recently been having conversations about how you define word of mouth in a survey. You know, it's a typical question, you know, how did you find out about us? On the website, newsletter, word of mouth. And more people, we're actually finding, we did a study in 2013 as part of a London Museums Consortium, and we just repeated it in 2025, and we asked the same questions, which is where a lot of this, a lot of these insights about the modern visitor has come from. That shift in word of mouth was the biggest significant change. But the reality is when you dig into it, a lot of people are talking about word of mouth as in social media recommendations and influencers. These are not people they actually know in real life, but they're people they feel like they know online. And so it's caused us to take a step back and think about, okay, well, how do we change this question that's been the same for 20 years and separate that out to think about word of mouth from friends and family and people you know, but not even friends, because sometimes influencers, they people consider them as friends. So it's a complicated one to track, to understand like how much relevancy influencers are giving versus how much relevancy is actually, you know, your sister or, you know, that. So I think at the V&A, for example, our marketing strategy has shifted and we're doing a lot more work in collaboration with influencers, because we're finding that not necessarily that you're getting a further reach with your influencers, but you're getting a deeper engagement with the people that do engage with that content. And again, going back to the algorithm, you know, I think in this piece of research I just mentioned, so many people report saying they have information overload. And it's just too much. And people are relying more and more on social media to give them what they want to see and to just ignore the things they don't want to see. And that's great to help us navigate the information overload. But what happens when we fall, you know, when we fall away? And now all of a sudden, if an algorithm doesn't think you're relevant, to this person, they'll never see your content again, even if they follow you. So using influencers in that way, we've tried to help make sure that the museum content continues to stay relevant as these people are professionally looking to stay relevant. Now, that doesn't work for every museum, and I think it's a careful balance, but it is something we need to think about and how we measure it as well.
Good morning. I'm Josep Borrell from the Marimorta Botanical Garden. In recent years at the Botanical Garden, we've been working to enrich the contents we offer our visitors on digital platforms. So this allows us to focus on clean landscapes. For instance, it's a wonderful resource. We offer this resource through QR codes. But also in recent years, we have seen that we have a growing number of school visitors and families who are reluctant to use their mobile phones to scan a QR code to explore the botanical garden. I think this may be due to the fact that boomers are fearful that the digital world may cannibalize the real world. So for a facility like ours, it's important because the experience of visiting a garden, I mean, it's a garden, it's in the open, out in the open. So I'd like to know what you think. When do you think we can strike a balance, if we should strike a balance, or whether we are just on a pendulum law that goes from one end to the other?
Al voltant d'aquesta mateixa.
And revolving around this question, I wanted to say that sometimes when you visit a museum, you go to a museum to carry out research. But sometimes I don't like to take out my phone. I like to watch what there is there with my eyes. I have a lot of information out there if I want to get more information. So it's very complicated. I just wanted to add this to emphasize this situation. I think that when an audience goes to a museum, it's to open our eyes and to set aside QR codes and our smart devices.
I think you've really hit the nail on the head with what is the challenge. I think we, as museums, are in a really difficult position. There's a transition happening, and we're sort of in the middle of it. There's still a huge audience who expects to visit museums in the same way that they always have for 50, 60, 70 years. And there's a lot of people who do come to museums as a way to turn off from this digital world. And then we also have audiences who expect, you know, who grew up with smartphones, and, you know, they expect things, you know, expect to be able to connect to Wi-Fi if there's bad signal. They expect to be able to jump on Wikipedia if they don't understand something. They use their phones seamlessly. And we are in a complicated place where we have to choose, do we cater to both of these audiences? Do we focus on one? Do we, you know, focus on a different type of audience? And unfortunately, with digital, things move really, really quickly. So it isn't just a case of, do we focus on the audiences of the future? Because we know as they grow, they will want more from us, from a seamless digital integration experience. But also, we know that those technologies change. You know, we know that, you know, 6 months ago, nobody was talking about ChatGPT, and now ChatGPT is planning people's days, and we're talking about SEO and what that means for algorithms and, you know, AI bots. So who knows what that will look like 3-4 years from now? So it's really hard to develop a future strategy where we're catering to a new audience with new requirements and new expectations, as well as catering to an audience that we know has certain behaviors. And let's be honest, the museum space has many, many rules. And we know that. We know from research around barriers that sometimes that a lot of people feel uncomfortable who don't come to museums will feel uncomfortable going to museums because they don't understand the social rules. Even though as much as we want it to be free for everyone and open, there's still so many rules. But those rules are now clashing a little between audiences. So I don't have an answer necessarily, because it's a complicated thing that you can't plan for too much in the future, because you don't know what digital will look like. You know, maybe VR won't catch on. I mean, who knows, right? 5 years ago, everyone will laugh at everyone who had things on their face. Or maybe it will become the new norm, but we don't know yet. So yeah, I don't have an answer to that, but I think you've completely captured the challenge of where we are, and in this one foot in the past and one foot in the future, but both are valid places to stand.
Really, really interesting. I'd like to add to the discussion that this is one of the reasons why it's so important to gather data and to study our audiences. John Falk, who's one of the great authors on studying our audiences, he segments audiences based on their motivation or the social and demographic features of our audiences. And one of his, between 5 and 7 segmentations, he talks of rechargers, who are the people who neither want to pull out their phones, they want to be in museums just to recharge their batteries, to enjoy art, or because they can feel the disconnect from society. That is why it's so important to study our audiences. We have time for one final question. I wonder if there's anyone else in the room. I have many questions if there's no one else wanting to ask questions. I wanted to ask, what steps would you advise a museum, a small museum or with limited resources, what steps would you recommend to start measuring and better understanding their digital audiences? I know it's quite a long question to answer, but if you could give us some clues in just a few minutes, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. I think the first step is to look at what data you already have, because you'd be surprised, you know, if you have, you know, social media platforms already have inbuilt analytics, so you don't have to have a fancy paid-for platform to measure analytics. Website analytics as well. Sometimes you already have that, even if you haven't set up Google Analytics. There's also things like Google Trends, where you can, you know, that are online free tools that you can type in your museum name and see how many people have searched for it in the last month. I think starting with just a quick project of, like, what do we already know? Because I think we sometimes assume we don't know anything, but the data is often there. And then I think it's important to think about, okay, what do we want to know? Because that then helps you decide what it is you're going to do. So if the purpose is, if what you really want to know is why, what motivates people to come to your website, you could put a little pop-up survey on your website that says, why did you come here today? Multiple choice question. And that's it. And then that answers a huge question for the museum. Or, you know, if it's about, are people using the website to plan their visit or look at the online collections, and you have something like Google Analytics, you can just look at the page views. What are people viewing? How are they getting there? So I think, yeah, it's a, like you said, it's a long a long answer to potentially a short problem, in that you don't have a lot of time to do these things. But yeah, I think it's that, and it's understanding why digital matters to your museum. Because I think one of the things that really struck me is that obviously during COVID, so many of us closed, and a lot of people rushed to implement digital in a way that they necessarily hadn't been able to before. And I think now is the time that we take a step back and we think, what is digital for? And part of that is using this, using audience research, and maybe it is doing a more in-depth study, like the one you'll hear later today, to understand why, like, how digital can actually help your organization, or maybe it's something quick.
Thank you very much, Casey. So, un aplaudiment per ella.
So, an applause for you. Thank you so much, Katie, Casey.